Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Hello, welcome to Bits About Books. Today we have with us Rob Hartnett and we will speak with him about his latest book, It's All Possible.
And so I got into personal development and how do you get better and how do you improve yourself? And also because I've raced yachts and done cycling now these days, but I've raced at the international level, at the elite level. So I've always been at that, how can I benchmark the best? What are the best do's? So that's always been a way of life for me. And so just studying what people did well and studying the processes they did, and especially people who changed, who went from one sport to another sport or who went from sport to business. They seem to, not everyone can do it, but a few can do it. And it was me studying those people and then doing it myself, because I'm a person who can't write a book based on other things. You know, I got to do it myself. I got to prove it myself. And so that's why there's a lot of me in the book, simply because I did it and wanted to prove the model. But that's where I really started to get into this process. And so as I started to map it out and refine it, I tested it. And I think one of the exciting things for me has been when I sent the early drafts of the book out, and you can see that, and you can see in the first couple of pages of the testimonials, they came back from business leaders, Olympians, people who'd succeeded as entrepreneurs. So it's kind of that diverse group had said, yeah, this system, that's what we do. That's what I do, or I do more of that part. And yeah, absolutely. And so to me, it kind of resonated that I probably hit the mark with it because of this group of people who had, you know, I've never been an Olympian, but said I have two gold medalists, applaud the book was very exciting to me from different sports.
Rob Hartnett is an international award-winning leadership and growth mindset specialist. Rob is the author of four books and his latest is It's All Possible. Starting his career at KPMG, Rob has worked in senior leadership roles in global organizations like Apple Computer and Hewlett-Packard. At Miller Heiman Group, where he led a sales performance advisory practice, he was a 9-times consecutive Global President's Club member, the only person outside of the USA to achieve this. Rob is a former world and state champion yachtsman, a passionate cyclist, and keen observer of all high-performance sport, and he is the host of the podcast, The Art of the Possible. Now, on to this exciting episode with Rob Hartnett. Rob, welcome to Bits About Books. I'm excited to have you here. You are one of the first books I'm doing on focused on the self. And I believe that a lot of our listeners were, you know, founders of startups all over the world. They will greatly benefit from this book. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk to your listeners and hopefully give them some inspiration and some motivation and some different thinking to get their ideas and dreams and aspirations even further.
Wonderful. So I know that you were doing some lectures around this topic earlier, and sort of at some point you decided that this should be converted into a book. So let's go back to the lectures. What made you start working on this lecture of The Art of the Possible?
Well, what really started behind that was I was doing a lot of workshops around small business. So I was doing workshops for small business growth in Australia around building a business, around marketing, around sales, around the idea development. And the more and more I did these, the one area that people kept resonating and asking me more on was mindset, attitude and mindset. And how do I develop my culture? How do I develop myself? How do I develop my people? And even though I was doing literally there for business growth and marketing, and sometimes it was around funding, and we'd still come back to this subject. People would come up to me afterwards and go, oh, that was really interesting. You know, how can I improve myself? How can I get better? How can I take that inspiration and stay high all the time? if you know what I mean, yeah. And keep and also have my team do that, if especially if they're building a startup or a small business. So as I more you know did more and more research, and also as a business owner myself, there's a lot of me search as well as research in this book, you know. And so a lot of what I've achieved in business, but also sport, and there's a lot of parallels started to come behind this book. And that's why I thought, you know what, I'm gonna spend more time on this and then focus on that, the attitude and mindset, because that is so important. And then the steps that follow attitude and mindset, which is the 4-step process.
This framework that you referred to just now, the 4-step process, mm-hmm. this was actually in the making even before you were thinking of writing the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had the last 4 steps of the book. So it's a 4-step process, but then there's 3 steps we execute for actions. So the 4 steps is essentially attitude and mindset, vision, strategy, and action. And I'd been doing a lot of focus on the action. There's 3 core components of action. And I'd road tested this not only with small businesses, but large businesses. So I had some large corporate clients, like sort of Fortune 500 clients, that I'd actually used this in keynotes and workshops. And to my surprise, they adopted it in their businesses. And they were going, oh my God, we love this process. And I'm like, wow, okay, I thought I'd just done it for a small business. And so it was really resonating with people, you know, sales directors, CMOs, COOs. So anyone who was kind of responsible for driving revenue or driving change, I road tested it with some big companies and road tested it with small organizations as well. And then I decided to, well, let's really flesh this thing out. And that's what's in the book.
So just let me drill down a bit more on this process. How did you think of this as a framework, and how did you sort of come about that, okay, I mean, we want a repeatable sort of model, and this is how it could possibly be? And what were the inspirations? What kind of things were influencing your thoughts while you were setting up that process?
Yeah, so a lot of it came back from my early days when I was in IT sales. You know, I know you and I have got a background in that, but my early days, I'm an accountant by profession too, just so you know. So I started my career at KPMG, mm-hmm. and then I moved into sales, got rid of being an accountant, and was doing IT sales. And I sort of fell into the space of personal development. And sales is such a great area to, it's just close as you can working for someone to be an entrepreneur, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I got into personal development and how do you get better and how do you improve yourself? And also because I've raced yachts and done cycling now these days, but I've raced at the international level, at the elite level. So I've always been at that, how can I benchmark the best? What are the best do's? So that's always been a way of life for me, and never really worried about Australia too much. Always wanted to know who was the best in the world. If they were Australian, fantastic. But if they were Indian, if they were from the UK, right. I'd always try and benchmark. And so just studying what people did well, and studying the processes they did, and especially people who changed, who went from one sport to another sport, or who went from sport to business. They seem to, not everyone can do it, but a few can do it. And it was me studying those people and then doing it myself, because I'm a person who can't write a book based on other things. You know, I got to do it myself. I got to prove it myself. And so that's why there's a lot of me in the book, simply because I did it and wanted to prove the model. But that's where I really started to get into this process. And so as I started to map it out and refine it, I tested it. And I think one of the exciting things for me has been when I sent the early drafts of the book out, and you can see that, and you can see in the first couple of pages of the testimonials, they came back from business leaders, Olympians, people who succeeded as entrepreneurs. So it's kind of that diverse group had said, yeah, this system, that's what we do. That's what I do, or I do more of that part. And yeah, absolutely. And so to me, it kind of resonated that I probably hit the mark with it because of this group of people who had, you know, I've never been an Olympian, but said I have 2 gold medalists, you know, applaud the book was very exciting to me from different sports.
Of course. Okay, so you were doing these workshops, and then it was primarily targeted at the smaller businesses, and then you sort of tested it out with larger ones, enterprises, and you saw that it's resonating. So obviously you had something going there.
It was something there.
So do you have some stories in terms of, you know, in the early days when you did it with some company or small or large, and you sort of rolled it out? Because see, I mean, all said and done, personal development is a well crowded space, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Here's the thing. I think you take an attitude to it that you can always learn, and it's always interesting aspects to it, like you and I talking today, but it is a very crowded space, and you need to be, you need to, and I find you've got to talk to people who've done your path or are going through things like you have. And so some of the testing of it, and I think one of the first things was when I started looking at the four-step process was, originally, I had vision, right, as the number one thing, and then I had mindset, attitude, and mindset, kind of like second or third. When one of the changes I made when I started to get serious about the book, because I knew it was going out to a wide audience, was to test that. And in fact, attitude and mindset is the number one. So that's the start, because if your attitude and mindset is not right, you will have small dreams.
You will think
small, and you may well have something that's a game changer. You may well have a great idea that is really good, that really could change up things. But if your attitude and mindset is small, if the people you're hanging around with are small, if they bring you down, then you'll go, you know what, I'll just do this bit. When we could be, you and I could be going, God, I wish you had spent more, you had a bigger attitude. And so if your attitude and mindset is right, and a key part of attitude and mindset is what I call mindset maintenance. It's all very well to get hyped up and excited, and we can go along and see someone speak, and we get motivated, but we know we will get hit at some point. We will be taken down. We will have something come against us. So it's the ability of this mindset maintenance to be able to smooth out the peaks and the troughs. So I spend a lot of time on that. And so that was also something that resonated with a lot of people. That one was a good, and then it's how do I do that? And so we talk a lot about that, about positive messages. And there's some work I've done with a few athletes and really testing that and saying, how do you remain so positive? And there's a couple in the book that I'm close to. And I say, how are you so positive? And when they lift the covers, oh man, they are intentional about positivity. It's not a hit and miss. It's not lucky. And so they were some of the things that I started to really test out in this area. The other point is that when people start to get into their actions, then they say, okay, so I've got my vision, and there's a small part of that we really tested out that made a game changer for the entrepreneurs and smaller businesses. That was a big one. So the vision part seems simple, but there's a very key point to it that I missed for a number of years, and many entrepreneurs missed this point.
Interesting. And I'll come back to you on this later, because I want to understand what is the correlation between mindset and willpower. But we'll get back to that later. Okay.
So
let's go to the go to the book. Let's follow the structure of the book. Let me ask you, when you decided that, obviously your workshop had a structure, but when you decided that this has to be a book so that millions of more people can read it and benefit from it, how did you think about structuring the book itself? I mean, it has a three-part structure. How did you arrive at that?
Well, I arrived at it, the structure, by spending time with people, and especially those who are in marketing and in TV and radio and entertainment land. And what they taught me there was that they taught me the power of brevity. And they taught me the power of, when you're writing something down, not make it complex, because no one will get to read it. Don't go into, you know, you've got to really simplify this thing and get to the core points. And they said, think about every word costing you $5,000. And it's a really good point, and I would advise anyone who's a marketer, anyone who's an entrepreneur or a startup trying to get your vision across, the old elevator pitch, really keep that in mind. What is core? And I'll give you an example of this, that a friend of mine in the US had the opportunity to introduce one of the great speakers, a guy by the name of John Maxwell. You might have heard of him. And he had the opportunity to introduce John. And he was to do a three-minute introduction before John came on stage to thousands of people. He spent 2 months with a world-class speaking coach to get the 3 minutes right. It's really easy to talk for an hour, as you and I would know, right?
Sure.
But to do it in 3 minutes and to blow them away to bring someone like John on, he spent 2 months. And so a lot of that, getting that system right, was spent with people saying, if I had to get a PR release done, how would I describe that? So essentially I started with the end in mind and came back. And I had a 7-part process originally, and one of the producers of a popular TV show said, can you get it to 4? And I went, wow, no, of course I can't. And I had all these excuses, and I went, you know what, I think I can. And so I did that, but then I decided, you know, there was only so much I knew. You know, I think if you know the actor Clint Eastwood, he has a great line. He says, a man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah.
Right? And I knew mine was, I've written a few books, but I hadn't done one for a while, and I really needed someone to help me. So the key then was working with my publisher, Leslie from Major Street, and she connected me with a fantastic editor. Now, that editor happened to be an entrepreneur herself and a business owner, which was, you know, great work by Leslie. And so Brooke Lyon, who was the editor, she and I worked really closely together, and we threw things around. But because she got the book, like Brooke actually was loving the book, that she was literally going through the steps herself as a business leader and entrepreneur. And so having someone, you know, so the bottom line is, have good people. If you don't know yourself, go find someone who knows better than you do. And that's how we came up with the process and got it, I think, fairly succinct.
It's time for a short break. When we come back, I'll ask Rob, as he developed the framework for the process, if his bias towards action came in the way of the structure of the book. We will be right back.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
As we got back from the break, I asked Rob, why does it appear that he has a bias towards action, as he explained to me his process of creating a framework and putting them as a book?
So by this time, you knew that it'll be a 3-part kind of book, right?
Correct. Yep.
And you had that, you sort of set the context in getting started, then you talk about the system, and then you sort of elaborate on the action. Because I do gather from the beginning of what you said is that you did have a bias towards action.
I did have a bias towards action, yeah. It's just making sure people did something, because I'm a big believer in positive thinking, you know, and willpower is important, but positive doing is so much more interesting, because that's where the rubber hits the road. It's where you go from that knowledge to skill, and there's a big difference between knowledge and skill. And so you literally have to take that, you know, one of my sort of, you know, comments I say is, you know, what's your first step to possible? You know, what's your first, because the first step to impossible is do the first thing that is actually possible. What can you do? What can you start? What can you put a stake in the ground at? Because it's just having that momentum and doing something is on the path is fantastic and moves you away from procrastination.
Right. So that I just quickly touch upon willpower. So one of the things that when even when one is trying to do a few things, what I figured is that you have limited amount of willpower. It's like energy, or it's like your muscle power, right? You have only so much when you wake up every morning, and it's important to sort of direct those to the right actions, right?
That's very correct, and I think where you're getting with that is something that's very powerful, and that's about focus. Because, and especially when you're an entrepreneur, you really, you can have so many great ideas and so many places you can go. It's like going into university and going, and let's say you've got a really good score at your university and you go, you know, I could do biology, I could do medicine, I could do business, I could do this, I could do technology, I could study it. There's so many things. And the bottom line is, and in fact, it's actually been proven in research, is that those students who really focus and get down actually get way bigger results and scores. Mm. So it's important to go, actually, what is really important to me? And I mean, I had to do this for this book. My editor, because I had a few books in mind that I wanted to do, this wasn't the only one.
Right.
But my publisher said to me, well, Rob, what's the most important one? You know, if you were, as a great analogy, if you were in a sinking rowboat, you had to make the boat lighter, which idea would you throw out and which would you keep? Which would be the one that would go with you that you would, you know, you had 2 hours to do it, which ideas are staying, which ideas are going? And so it's literally honing that focus down, because as you said, you can't be everywhere. You only have a certain amount of, you know, that willpower, that motivation, that energy in the morning. Now you can do something about that. You can be fitter and you can have endorphins and you can do things to spark up your energy, but you've still got a limited amount, as you said. So the way you can focus it, and it's more, even more important than just yourself. If you're leading a team, and a lot of my work is with leadership and leading teams and helping people develop teams, you've got to be even more focused for them, because they don't. If you come in distracted, they have no idea what you want to do next. So it's really important.
Let's talk about the action process. How did you decide that you needed to break this up further?
Yeah. So a lot of times I found when people got their they got their attitude and mindset was right. They had a good vision. They had a really good idea. They were quite specific on it. They had some good strategy of what they wanted to do. Then they did, but when they went to take action, they didn't know what to actually do. What first step should they do? What did they need to do? What was the ongoing process? And one of the other reasons I built this program like this is so people could coach to it. Mm-hmm. So the action process covers three areas. You know, what knowledge do I need? What processes and systems do I need to develop? What skills do I need? And it's this action process that actually helps you change sports, change businesses, change up jobs. And so if you've got your attitude and your mindset right, and let's say, for example, you move from IT to financial services. So you made this great job, you're well-connected, you knew good people, you're articulate, you knew how to lead people. But so you move from IT, let's say you're working at Cisco and you moved over to HSBC. Well, then you're okay on the strategy side, you're okay, you know, your vision. But what knowledge do you need now? What systems and processes do you need now? What skills? Now, you might not need the skills because you're a good leader, you've got good leadership skills, but you may need the process of how they work. You might need to know how a banking system works and how your people process and how they look at credit and how they advise and investments. You might need more knowledge of that. So you might need to have more knowledge of financial markets. You know, for example, if you change a country, and you go, you're working in India, but now you're going to start working in Hong Kong. You may need to build your knowledge of the Hong Kong markets. You may not need to do process because you know the way the organization works because you've been there 3 years. But you may need to develop skills in how to speak Mandarin. And so part of the process is I don't have to do all you know, knowledge, process, and skills, but which one do I need to focus on? Because I might have one, I might even have two, but I may need to do something around my skills. And that helps if I'm your leader. So if I'm your leader and or I'm coaching you, I can see that you've got fantastic knowledge. You really know your stuff. But you know what? And you're in sales, so let me connect that way. Let's say you know how to do a call plan. You know how to work Salesforce. You have a beautiful CRM. It's always up to date, a beautiful sales funnel. But you don't close any business because you don't go and see customers. You're filling out call plans all day long and updating the CRM. Well, you need to get out there and see some customers. And so I would focus you on not on your knowledge, not on using the CRM, but actually getting out there and putting those skills and processes into action.
Right. Got it.
Yeah, that was why. So you really, and that's the same with the, you might have a great vision and attitude. You're fantastic. Great. What do you need to hone? Is your strategy okay? You might be good at strategy, but maybe your vision's not quite right.
Right.
Maybe your vision's really good, but you don't know how to get the strategy right. So it's literally someone looking through it and going, which steps do I need to focus on in order to have that great motivation and willpower and use that up? So that's the kind of key behind it. So it's not a book that you actually have to start and read from start to finish. It's not like a novel like Twilight, right? Mm-hmm. You can actually pick it up anywhere and focus on the key area that's for you at that particular time.
Right. Great. So can you share some stories of success? I mean, people who are using it, individuals, companies, small companies, large companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few. One of the early ones from the early days was around this, not so much the attitude and mindset was really great. This guy was a restaurateur and caterer, and I spent some time on this process, and the attitude, he was good attitude and mindset. He was a great leader, he had good staff with people, but he was run off his feet. He was working 7 days a week. He wasn't spending any time on the business. He was just in the business. And I started talking to him a lot about the vision of what he wanted to do. And so he took that away. He understood that. He developed his own vision. And then when we got to strategy, and he really liked that area on strategy. That was something that he spent some time on. And he realized that while his vision was good, his strategy was all wrong. He was doing retail. Mm-hmm. And he was doing B2B, but he really wanted to focus on B2B, and he really wanted to grow a business with high revenue that he could actually didn't have to work, 7 days a week, 8 hours a day. So he wanted less hours. He wanted to focus more on the quality of his product, and he wanted to sell the business in 5 years. Now, I saw him 12 months after there was a speaking gig I did where I talked through this process. 12 months later, unbeknownst to me, he stands up at the end of my speaking gig and says, "Hey, can I say a few words?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "I put this plan in the process." Mm. And I went, "Okay." And he said, "I have shut my retail shop down, closed it, right. Focused on B2B catering. We have tripled our revenue, doubled our margins. We have happier people. And I now have 2 days back in my work." And I was blown away, frankly, because I was pretty humbled about it. But he said because I focused on this part, the strategy part. And he said to everyone else in the room, he said, "You guys got to get some time off. Does the strategy equal the vision?" And it's such a simple thing, isn't it? But he had this beautiful vision. But when he actually looked at his strategy, we were going like 180 degrees apart. Yeah. So that's kind of one. One big, large organization did focused on the action side, which actually came. They had the vision not so bad. The strategy wasn't too bad, but their strategy was to build out a channel model. So going through resellers and dealers, right. If you're familiar with, so to scale their business to make the numbers they wanted to make. They knew they couldn't do it with a direct sales force. They needed to have licensees, dealers, and resellers. And they had a few, but they needed to develop that and really accelerate that. And what they realized, the vision was there, the strategy made sense, but when they got to the action, they didn't actually have any people on board who actually ever built a channel out or had done selling through as opposed to two. When you're a direct seller, you're selling two. Right. When you're selling through a channel, you're selling through. And so they lacked skills. They didn't have business acumen. They didn't know how channel members made money. They didn't know how their products contributed to making money. And so they focused really – their process was not so bad, but they had to go knowledge and skills. And that was a massive turn. That was a global business. I shouldn't mention the name, but they were a German business, very, very process-orientated being Germans. Right. But they kind of loved this because it had finally – got the strategy right, but their action process was a little off, and so they had to hire some more staff that were more able to do this, transfer some staff to some other roles, and just get the right people in to do the job. Fantastic. So there's a couple on the business side. On the sports side, I think probably the person who really influenced me on the power of process, and she's in the book, is a lady by the name of Alyssa Camplin. Mm. And Alyssa is a gold medalist in skiing. But a quick story with Alyssa Alyssa's vision was to win a gold medal.
Okay.
She didn't care what sport it was in. As a young girl growing up, her goal was to win a gold medal. And so she tried numbers of sports, and then she finally landed. She had this, top five, which are in the book, of what made up a good sport that she'd have a chance of winning a gold medal. And so she landed on aerial skiing, which is when you do those big jumps, you do all the spins. Really dangerous.
Yeah.
But when she landed on that, when she decided, "I'm going to win a gold medal in aerial skiing," she had never, ever been to the snow.
Wow.
But she had the most amazing process that would get her that gold medal in 7 years. And she shared that with the head coach at skiing in Australia. And he said, "This is a great process. I love your ambition. But, where are your results today?" And she goes, "Well, I don't have any because I haven't actually learned how to ski yet." And he said, "Well, come back in 18 months after you've got these two steps done with these results." And she did. And she got those results. And then the rest is history. And she got her gold medal and then followed with a bronze 4 years later. But that's the power of process. only backed though with strong willpower and focus. So process is good, but if you're not motivated, and more importantly, when I asked Alyssa about this, if you don't have passion, strong passion, you know, you're not going to get up at 3 a.m. for the drive up to the snow to put the process into gear.
Is there anything else you'd like to cover, Rob? I mean, in case we have, I have sort of missed out on bringing out.
No, there's probably, what there is also in the book was quite a bit of stuff on leadership and mm-hmm. becoming a leader and developing yourself as a leader and a lot of the principles, what I call the principles of leadership. And there's, you know, there's not many. I mean, the five kind of principles of leadership, which I quote in here, are kind of around what James Kuznets and Posner came up with. But they're essentially around, you know, the first one is model the way. If you're a leader and you want people to follow you, model what you want, you know, and there are many leaders today. And a lot of the reason for the book was we really have a leadership vacuum, you know, globally in politics, in business. People aren't leading. They're managing. They're not leading. They're not making decisions. So modeling the way, freeing up your people, empowering your people, creating what I call inspired vision that people have bought into and you've bought into, you know, challenging existing processes is part of it. And, you know, rewarding the people who get what I call get religion or come with you, you know, believe you on the journey. And there's a number of examples in the book about leadership and key principles of leadership. So I'd encourage that. The book's available in paperback and also as an ebook as well. And I will do, you know, at some point, we'll do it as an audio book as well. We'll do an audio book recording. We'll get into that. We've just launched the book now, but it's available paperback and an ebook.
So and it's in all the regular outlets, right? Like Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's on Amazon. It's on Booktopia. It should be in the major areas. But yeah, you can definitely search up. So if you search up, it's all possible. Rob Hartnett, it'll come up. Definitely, it's available on Amazon and Booktopia as ebook and physical. You can also go to my site, which is robhartnett.com/shop, and it will be there as a paperback. If you want the ebook, go to Amazon, Booktopia, and the other online bookstores that have got it.
Wonderful. And how do people want, if they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Best way is through my website. So is my website's robhartnett.com, or you can get me on, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, or through LinkedIn. So LinkedIn, it's Rob-Hartnett, H-A-R-T-N-E-T-T.
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Wonderful. So for listeners, all this data will be available in the show page. So Rob, thank you once again for your time and so generously sharing details and your vision. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, pleasure.
Coming up in the next episode is Thomas Williams in a lively discussion on his fascinating new book, Buyer-Centered Selling. Stay tuned.
What would happen is we would typically be doing one of these programs over a 2 or 3 day period, and someone would come up to us, you know, during a break, during lunch, dinner, over drinks, and say, you know, really love the content of what the methodology you're providing, but, you know, I've got this specific problem that I'm encountering. Can you help us with that? And I'd say to them, or Tom would say to them, explain to me what you're talking about. They say, well, here's my problem. How do I overcome or handle the unexpected RFP from one of my best customers? How do I handle, you know, a large buying committee that wants me to come in and do a demo, and I don't know who all the people are and what they do? How do I handle and get a better relationship or better understand procurement so I can work more effectively with them? Because in my industry, we have to work with procurement. How do I handle the inevitable question that comes up in a better way? How do I handle, you know, your price is too high? So they would come up with all these different, what I'll call challenges, obstacles, problems, And what we ended up doing is we identified about 21 of these things. And one day, Tom Sain and I sat down, had lunch, and said, you know, here's a list of these things. We talked about them. Why don't we write a book about them?
Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.